Blog Talk Radio.
Relationship with the SBA here in San Francisco for 10 years, and they've always taken really, really good care of me, and I'm sure Angel will be as well. Both of you, before we let you go, tell everybody how to reach you. If you want to give your website out, that would be great. Angel?
Angel at chanefia.com, chanefia.com.
Okay, and Sean?
My email is sean.techcode@gmail.com, sean.techcode@gmail.com, or go to our website, us.techcode.com.
All right, sounds good. And I want to introduce our guest for the show, and Women of Influence Radio, for those of you who are new to tuning in. Women of Influence Radio is our new part of our new premium platform where we introduce the audience to women who I feel like are making a difference out there in the business and nonprofit sector. So our guest for the day is Dr. Kim Metcalf, and Kim spoke at one of my workshops last week, and she did an amazing job. She is the founder of Abby's Purple Winged Angels, and she is also a caregiver expert, and she's going to sort of teach us what she knows about the industry. And Dr. Kim, are you there? Welcome to the show.
I'm here.
All right, sounds good. So, as always, this is the way that it'll work. I'm going to mute myself, and you have 30 minutes to teach what you know, and then I will come back and we'll do a quick Q&A, okay? So,
okay.
Take it away.
So, one of the big questions, if you ask an adult what do they really want for their children, most of them are going to respond with one of the following responses. They're going to say, I want my child to grow up and be able to take care of him or herself. Some parents will say, I want my child to become a productive citizen who cares about the world. But the most common response is, I just want my child to be happy. So the million-dollar question is, what can we do as parents to support our child's journey to achieve the goals that we have for them? I discovered the answer to the question. Before I go on to give you the answer, I want to share a story with you so you understand how I discovered this answer. Every day in the United States, about 5,000 young children attempt to end their own lives. By the end of every year, 6,000 of them succeed. In the year of 2012, my own daughter, Abby, was one of those 6,000. Now, Abby laid in a coma for about a week before I was told that she would never be the girl that she once was. Eventually, I had to make the very difficult decision of removing Abby from life support. One evening when Abby was in a car and in an argument with her boyfriend, she opened the car door and threw herself out of that vehicle. Now, I'm an educational psychologist. I have a master's degree in child development. I have a PhD in human development across the lifespan, and I have to tell you that the guilt that a parent feels after a child chooses to end their own life is overwhelming. At the time of Abby's death, I had already spent 10 years as a tenured associate college professor teaching developmental psychology and early childhood development. And what this really meant was that I had already prepared thousands of college students on the appropriate ways to interact with children so that they would become healthy, happy, productive citizens of the world. And despite all of the knowledge and all of my education, my own child committed suicide. I could not understand for the life of me how this could happen. I asked myself over and over again, what did I miss? What did I do? What didn't I do? What could I have done differently? What could I have done better? And the question gnawed at me. I had a nervous breakdown, and I went into grief and madness, and the only way out of it was to find some answers. And what I discovered was that in addition to the tragic suicide rates of the youth in our country, 48% of the children living in the United States are experiencing stress and trauma that can impede their ability to develop into the happy, positive contributors to the world, the contributors in their own lives, positive contributors to their own lives, to the lives of their families, to the lives of their communities, to the lives in their nation, and to the world. And what I also discovered is that we tend to think that these are not our children, that these children, these 48% of children that are living in this stress and trauma are not our own. These are not the children we care for. We kind of look at these kids and think they are the kids that are out there that are, they're living in poverty, they're homeless, they're, you know, their parents beat them and neglect them. But this isn't really true. A lot of these kids come from middle-class families, families who do not believe their kids are at risk for suicide or drug or alcohol addiction or any type of self-sabotaging behaviors that tend to result from our kids feeling really helpless and completely alone. So if we consider, like, all of the different daily situations that all of our children are sent out into the world to deal with and our own busy schedules, it's kind of easy to understand why children like Abby choose behaviors that seem unfathomable to us as parents and as their teachers. The truth is our kids have emotional needs that are really going unmet, and it's really because of just the busyness of life. So the average tween or teen, they might be dealing with a wide variety of issues at any one time, and these issues have a negative impact on their emotional well-being. For example, on a daily basis, most of our kids face academic challenges. Even our kids that are good in certain subjects, they're constantly needing to maintain that high level of academic achievement. And then we have the other kids that might do great in one subject but are lacking behind in others. Our kids get teased. They get bullied. They have peer pressure. They have this pressure to fit in. They fear failure and messing up because we really aren't delivering the messages that failing and messing up is okay because it gives us a chance to learn. Some of our kids are living with high levels of parental conflict. Some of our kids are living in shared custody arrangements that also give them less than optimal emotional support and less than optimal support for their social needs. Some of our kids are actually living with parents that use ineffective parenting and teaching practices. We have social media influences. We have safety issues. Mostly parents and teachers are dealing with their own work demands, financial demands, relationship demands, and they are really trying their best just to maintain some sense of order in their own lives and then, of course, the lives of their children. So the result of this is that there's very little time to provide the type of real nurturing and sensitivity that many of our tweens and teens need today, particularly with all the stresses and what they're dealing with. So if we really want our youth to grow up to become productive, happy, responsible citizens who care for themselves and who live in a world that they care about, we have to stop throwing everything in the book at them and hoping that just some of it sticks. So here's an example of that. We tell them, You know, be good. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't cheat. Don't be mean. Don't be cruel. Don't say this. Don't say that. But do we sit down with our children, and are we providing them with rich opportunities to really get to know themselves, to discover what they stand for? And as adults, do we know who we are? Do we know what we stand for? Are we providing young people with opportunities to be true to who they are? And are we showing them how to stand up for who they really are every single day of their lives, so that we're preparing them to live the types of lives that we really want them to live? If we really want to look at the most precious gift that any adult can give to any young person, it would be giving them the experiences to know who they really are, to know what they really stand for, and to show them how to use their own values and beliefs and the qualities that they choose for themselves. Show them how to use those qualities to stand up for what they believe in every single day in all of the different situations that they face on a daily basis. And we have to model those same behaviors. When we look at our children, it's really imperative that we understand that when they go to school, we want to develop their intellectual selves. But when they go to school, they have an emotional self. They have a creative self. They have a social self. They have a physical self. And believe it or not, all of those needs, whether at school or whether at home, they have to be met. And only when they're met are we putting out whole, healthy human beings that have what it takes to be happy in their lives. One of the greatest things we can do for our kids to help them become happy is to give them the tools and show them how to become significant human beings on the planet. Significance and belonging are the two cornerstones for living a productive, happy, healthy life. So there's a couple of things that we can do right away as adults who want to influence kids. We need to take the time to nurture our own, not only our own intellectual selves, but our creative selves, our social selves, our emotional selves, and our physical selves. Because only when we do that are we able to model that for our children or the children that that are under our care. We need to take the time to take a deep dive into identifying our own qualities. What do we stand for? We might think we're kind, but are we really? Do we really stand for kindness? And what does that look like in our daily life? What does that look like every time we make a decision, every time we make a choice, every time we make a behavior? Do we stand for honesty? If we say we stand for honesty, what do we do every day that demonstrates honesty? What do we make? How do we make our decisions? Are we making our decisions based on honesty? A second thing that we can do is after we choose our qualities, after we have decided on the qualities that we want to use to move through the world, what do we do to really direct our decisions and our behaviors? How do we teach that to ourselves? How do we demonstrate that? how are we our authentic selves every day? And I would suggest that most of us are trying so hard to fit in to our work world, to our social world, that we may forget about who we really are and what we really stand for. We may forget how to use that in our daily lives. So I want to give you a couple of examples of what I mean by that. Abby's Purple Winged Angels was developed to work with foster youth and foster parents. And one of our primary goals is to make sure that we give foster parents and foster youth that they care for the experiences and the opportunities to take a really deep dive into the qualities that resonate the most with them. And then we offer lots of different scenarios to foster parents and foster children so that they can take those qualities and use the qualities they've chosen to make a decision about a particular scenario. So here's one scenario. You are one of the foster youth in our program, and you have decided that what really resonates with you is you really want to be kind. That's something that really resonates. You really want to be kind. And so how do you use kindness? So one of the scenarios would be that you're at school one day and one of your really good friends is absent that day. And all of your other friends are gossiping and they're talking about this friend who is absent. They're making fun of this friend. They're saying things that they would never say to this person's face. And these are very hurtful things. So if you have decided that one of your qualities is kindness, what do you do in that situation? Do you speak up? Do you walk away? Do you run off and get on the cell phone and tell your friend what they're doing? Is that kind? Is that the kind thing to do? So giving our young people opportunities to play around with different scenarios, or even when they come to us with a real live situation, discussing with them what their qualities are, what did they choose, and how can they use these chosen qualities to guide their behaviors, to guide their decisions. And how do we as adults show them how we use our chosen qualities to guide our decisions and our behaviors? What do we show and demonstrate to our young people when they are around us? In the classroom, if we are a teacher and we have chosen a quality of kindness, how do we demonstrate that? And I want to be careful here because I am not suggesting that parents and teachers should let youth run over them. This is not what we are talking about. This is about choosing the best decision and the decision that still reflects kindness or still reflects honesty. And being kind and being honest or having those virtues that we all seek to aspire to does not mean we become doormats. It means that we use these qualities to make our decisions. When we're going to deliver a message, even if the message is something that is not something that the other one person wants to hear, are we able to deliver the message in a kind way? And that's really the secret. So in a nutshell, to summarize, I would say that in order to help our youth discover who they really are, which is really discovering who they were born to be, we take the time to sit with them and we do a deep dive on our own qualities, who we are, and we do that alongside of them while we are giving them the opportunity to take the deep dive into who they choose to be. Now, by helping them and by working in a collaborative effort with our youth, we aren't just throwing a bunch of stuff at them. We are actually having rich discussions, and we're talking about what that means for their lives, for their future, and for the world, and how that affects not only themselves, but their families and their communities. And we must recognize that our qualities and the qualities we choose and what we choose to be true to also affects our lives and our children's lives and the communities that we live in. So one of my big takeaways here is make sure that we practice as adults what we preach. We've all heard the funny little story of the parent that tells their child, don't lie, and then they go to the movie house, and then the child looks really young and can get in for a discounted rate, and we stand right there in front of our child, and the child knows that they're 12, but we're saying that the child is 8. And the child's sitting right there listening to us. So while many of us say we're kind and many of us say we're good and we're decent and we're hopeful and we're honest, do we really live it? And if so, that would mean that we're checking in constantly to see how those qualities are really showing themselves and revealing themselves in our everyday lives with our everyday decisions. So most important, I really want to emphasize that our youth need us. They need us to really step up and put aside some of the busyness and discover who we are and help them discover who they are. And my hope would be that we would create communities all across the world, like Abby's Purple Winged Angels, who really has the programs and takes the time to really take a real deep dive into these issues so that we can change the world and make it a better place for all of our children. Because the truth is, the greatest resource on the planet is our young people. We like to think of it as oil or water or fresh air. It's those things. But who is what out of the minds of our children? All of those resources will either be protected or they won't be. Out of their minds, out of their savvy, out of their knowledge, out of their willingness to live the qualities that they embrace, out of their willingness and their ability to do that, is to the largest extent the way that the human species will survive and that our planet will be able to support their survival. So, to me, this is a big issue that all of us should really pay attention to and be willing to get involved with. And it's not just the children that we think are at risk. It's 48% of our children, according to overwhelming research. So I'd like to leave you with one question. I know Tony's going to come back on and ask a few questions, but I'm just wondering what you think you do every day that shows or that helps you to know that you're in alignment with what you stand for. And what do you do for your children every day to help them discover what they stand for and to help them align their
Dr.
beliefs
Kim,
with that?
I am back on, and we're going to go to and pay some bills because we've got commercials, and then we're going to come on, and we're going to have a little chat with you. And so hold on, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
If you are a professional who feels stuck under a glass ceiling and your gifts are going to waste, then I have a special gift for you. I'm Amanda Eloesh, San Francisco's leading spiritual success mentor, and I find that many professionals who come to me feel like they've tried everything they can think of to get ahead and still hunger for more meaning and fulfillment. I can help you to reach more clients and make more money through deep spiritual awakening and medicine ceremonies. For a complimentary 60-minute exploration of how I can help you, visit Eloesh.com, that's Eloesh.com, and grab your Breakthrough to Success mentoring kit. It's my gift to you so you can stop struggling and start living your purpose now.
Most of us experience 200 chemicals before we get to the breakfast table. Want to kick chemicals to the curb? Start with the largest organ of your body, your skin. From the banks of the Rogue River in Michigan, Flow Soap Studio has created a chemical-free soap that your body will love. Our soap is made with botanical oils, natural colors, and scented with pure essential oils. It's vegan and never tested on animals. That means no tallow from large factory slaughterhouses, no GMO oils, detergents, perfumes, or harsh sulfates. Not a single ingredient is created in a laboratory, so it's safe for the environment and amazing for your skin. Find us on Facebook at Flow Soap Studio or visit flowsoapstudio.com today and get free shipping. That's Flow, F-L-O-W, soapstudio.com.
Hi, this is Lisa Downs with Downs Leadership. I work with technical leaders and teams in STEM professions to increase their productivity, collaboration, and innovation, and decrease dysfunction, miscommunication, and bad fit when it comes to hiring. Basically, if there's a people problem, I can help you solve it. Whether you're a startup or an established business, Downs Leadership can provide you with one-on-one leader coaching, executive coaching, and team building and development. Do any of these scenarios sound familiar? Your business is growing so fast, you don't have time to get to know your people. You spend so much time dealing with conflict that you feel like a parent refereeing the kids. You have managers who haven't had good support in knowing how to manage effectively. Your team doesn't know each other well and how to best work together. You keep hiring the wrong people and need some help figuring it out. If you said yes to any of these situations, give me a call at 425-216-3015 or visit downsleadership.com today to learn more and schedule a free leadership strategy session with me. That's Lisa Downs with Downs Leadership. Data-driven, STEM-focused, results realized.
Discover the three top reasons why your money flow may be blocked. You've lost your creativity because you have way too much stress in your life. You are out of alignment with your soul purpose, or your inspiration has run dry. If you are experiencing any of these, then you will love the free gift from Lucy McMonagle that will make you a money magnet. Get instant access at wealthpouch.com. This is the one tool that will open the floodgates of your wealth today. So go to wealthpouch.com now and get instant access. I will see you at wealthpouch.com.
Okay, and we are back talking with Dr. Kim Metcalf on the Women of Influence Radio. And Dr. Kim, I loved what you had to say in terms of kids watching what you do and your behavior and that sort of thing. Here's my question, without getting, political. do you feel like kids are starting to act out a little bit more because they're seeing bad behavior from this administration?
No, I'm not going to go there.
Fair enough. Why do you think? Why do you think? I'm seeing a lot of kids who are, and I'm talking about teenagers. I'm seeing a lot of teenagers who are sort of making racist comments and not being kind to one another, and that's one of the things that you talked about. And so I'm sort of wondering why that is, or if you're even seeing that. I mean, maybe you don't see that.
I do see that, Tony. And I just want to be clear. Obviously, leaders, politicians at any level who are leading our country and are okay with certain things going on, fan the flames for racism. They can fan the flames for people saying cruel things. But I think what I want to say with that, the caveat is these kids didn't suddenly hear something from the current administration and then suddenly embrace it. These are things that have been within them and for a variety of reasons. And a lot of times I think that when certain people try to bully or put down other people, it's because they don't feel good enough about themselves. They don't know who they really are. They've not gotten in touch with who they were born to be and what they could really do to create the world that we really all want to live in. And unfortunately, they believe that if certain other people weren't around, they would be able to have the dream life that they want.
Well, and so here is what I believe that there are a lot of kids, where kids really learn from the adults. If they see the adults acting a particular way, then they're going to think that that's okay. And I think that was kind of your overall message.
Yes.
When you were talking earlier. How do we sort of steer our kids from that behavior?
Yep. Well, the first thing and the most difficult thing to do is we need to steer ourselves as their models. So we do, I'm sure that many people, including the ones in our administration currently, would say that they are kind people. But if you listen to the way they conduct themselves, would most of us agree that it's kind? And
no,
so when... Right, we wouldn't. So as adults, if we're in our own homes and we've got the news on and someone's saying very nasty and negative things about certain groups of people and we're cheering the TV on and we're okay with that and we're saying they're right, we may be the person that's saying, I've chosen to be kind, but we are not aligning ourselves with kindness. So I think my argument is that we have forgotten, many of us, we are so busy in our lives. Life is so hectic, and there's this need, this thought of we have to compete for everything. And so we believe that we don't have something because somebody else does, and this is the reason. But the truth is our power lies within us. Everything we want, need, or believe we deserve to have, it's about us, our behaviors, and what we're doing. It's not that anyone is taking anything from us. So until we become responsible adults and we really sit and decide who we really want to be, who were we born to be, and we embrace that, and then not only do we embrace it, we embrace it by using it every day. We embrace it by we have identified and we have listed on a piece of paper and it's on our refrigerator. It's next to our nightstand. This is who I choose to be. And every behavior I have will reflect these qualities. And when we do that and we teach that to our children, we won't have these people that, you know, people running around and doing really very hurtful and unkind things. So it's really about getting in touch with who we are and not just saying we're something, but living it. And so all of our programs, you know, the programs I develop are really meant to help people actually live it, not just say it, live it, use it. And, you know, like you said, you know, adults are the models. And, of course, with the current – go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I guess the thing that's really sort of disturbing to me is that not so much the kids, because the kids, hopefully they'll learn as they get older and get around more people. But a couple of things that sort of bother me. Number one, who do these people think is trying to take, or not who, why are these people who have these bad attitudes and people are trying to take stuff away from us, why do they feel that? I still can't put my finger on that one. And I sort of have, an idea of why, because certain people, and I keep using the term certain people, are not supposed to have anything or much, and when those people are sort of out there, minorities, I'll say it, when minorities are out there and they're making good money and they're getting good jobs and that sort of thing, I think sometimes we're perceived as we're not supposed to have that. Women and minorities. Is that a fair statement?
Yes. And yes, absolutely. And where does that come from? Where does that mindset come from? We're not born like that. When we're born, we don't know that type of thinking. Those are things that are developed. And I would say that the chances of a child being raised like that and going out and discovering something different is very challenging. If you're raised in a home and with the belief that you're entitled to things that other people are not entitled to, the tendency is to go out and maintain that belief system. And that belief system, it's like the smoke screen. Those values and beliefs color every decision that we make, every choice that we make, every statement that we make is colored by that belief. So, you know, people, you know, parents that are bringing children up and they bring them up with a sense of entitlement that they're entitled to certain things because of the color of their skin or because they have so much money or because they're from America, any of those things, that is something that children learn. And those children, you know, this is what I really try to emphasize to groups of people that I work with, is that our children grow up to become the adults that we train them to be. So if we are training them to believe that others are less deserving than we are, that again goes down to the qualities of who you are. Because the truth is, if you I believe that human beings are naturally born good. I think we are. And if you look at the nature of most human beings, if there's a car crash, most everyone will run out to try to help that person in the car accident. And we do not say, well, wait a minute, they're not driving a Mercedes, or they're not the color of person I like, or they're gay, or they're this, so I'm not going to run to help them. We don't even think like that. We just automatically run out to help. That's our normal nature. It's what we learn that prevents us from being true to who we really are as human beings. And I believe that with my whole heart. I believe we are born decent and kind and good because we know no other thing. We learn we learn to believe that other people are less significant, less important, not as good, not equal, not entitled. And that all comes down to...
Dr. Kim.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Dr. Kim, we're running out of time, so I want to ask you to tell everybody where they can reach you, if you've got any upcoming events that you want to promote, please feel free to do that.
Okay. I do have a book that's coming out. It's called Let's Build Extraordinary Youth Together. And if you would like to get on a list for that book, you can email me at kim.metcalf, M as in Mary, E as in Edward. Oh, that's probably on Tony's radio show. You won't need to get the spelling, but metcalfe at M as in Mary, V as in Victor, C as in college, dot E, D as in dog, U. And
okay,
I would be glad to take your name. Mm-hmm.
And that information is also on our website. And by the way, while you were talking, I wrote down a name that a person I want to introduce you to, because I think the two of you should collaborate, and if nothing else, pool resources or share resources. And her name is Kimberly Schiffer. And she does teens and parents workshops. I think it would be amazing if the two of you got together and did a workshop together. So,
oh, that'd be wonderful.
So I'll make sure it's on my list of things to do, so I'll be sure to facilitate that email. Dr. Kim, thank you so much for calling into Women of Influence Radio. Wonderful, wonderful tips. I really appreciate it. And listen, I know that you gave an amazing talk at one of my workshops last week. People are still raving about it. And so we're going to talk a little bit more, you and I, about getting in front of more people. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Sounds good. And we will be right back after this message.
Hello.
Okay. Bye-bye.
This is Meenakshi Ramesh from www.tapyourwaytohealing.com. I'm a certified EFT practitioner. EFT stands for Emotional Freedom Techniques, also called as tapping. Ask yourself these questions. Are you struggling with any physical or emotional discomfort? Are you tired of being overwhelmed and stressed? Have you been procrastinating on your projects? Have you been feeling guilty for all your mistakes? Are you suffering from insomnia? Do you want to improve your self-confidence? Are you struggling to lose weight? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, send me an email at tapyourwaytohealing@gmail.com for a free complimentary session. I hope to see you there. Thank you.
Okay, and we have another message. For whatever reason, my computer is slowed down. So, unfortunately, that's what happens. In any event, that's our show for this week. I want to thank all of our listeners. I want to thank our guest, Dr. Kim Metcalf, for coming on the show and giving us some really wonderful things to think about. And I will be back in November with new guests, new programs. And so I want to wish everybody a wonderful weekend, a safe weekend, and we will see you next time. Here's a little bit of, let's see, who do we want to play? I guess we'll play a little bit of Juliet.